Welcome. You're listening to Ask the CIO, brought to you by CenturyLink. And now here's your host, Jason Miller.
We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. My guest is Mark Day, the General Services Administration's Director of the Office of Strategic Programs in the Office of the Integrated Technology Services in the Federal Acquisition Service. Mr. Day is responsible for overseeing the government-wide acquisition contracts programs and the Center for Strategic Solutions and Security Services. Among the projects he's in charge of is figuring out how the concept of a cloud broker would work, improving the Smart Buy Enterprise Software Licensing Initiative, and running the cybersecurity blanket purchase agreements. Mr. Day is a former CIO at the Environmental Protection Agency and a former CTO at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. I caught up with Mr. Day after a recent federal IT and networks conference in Washington.
Mark, I got to start with cloud broker. I mean, that is obviously something that a lot of people are looking at, a lot of people are interested in. You mentioned that there are two agencies who are going to be part of the test pilot. DHS, I think, is the one. You haven't mentioned who the second one is yet. Can you give us a sense of who that second one is yet?
They haven't announced who they are, but I can talk about they are a very large agency. They are a complex agency with a number of bureaus, and so they are a good test case for the cloud broker concept.
All right, so when that agency comes out, we will know more. But in the meantime, what's your vision for the pilot or GSA's vision as you're working with these two agencies, having those conversations?
Really, the pilot is to do exactly that. It's a proof of concept operation. We want to understand how well does the cloud broker concept work? Does it meet certain customer needs, which we've laid out? Does it appear to be economical in its operation? Can we, in fact, predict pricing and quality the way we need to make it a real service that can be of value to the customer?
From a need standpoint, when you've had those conversations, when you talk to DHS and this other agency, what did they say to you? Can you give me a sense, you know, without getting into specifics of DHS said this and this other agency said that?
Many agencies are in a position where they need to integrate different cloud services. They have the cloud service agreement, but they need to integrate that cloud service either with other cloud services, or they need to integrate it with legacy services, or it's part of a shared service they would like to sell to others. They don't want to have to do a one-by-one integration with another agency customer. They want to be able to say, here's my shared service, connect to it this way, and it's much more seamless and it's much easier, both for them administratively, either as a seller or as a consumer.
Do you compare this to, and I know this is a little bit of a dirty word in government, but the old seat management concept where people said, I need desktops, I need connections, I need all the peripherals, just do it and tell me how much it's going to cost. I know seat management got a bad reputation, but is it that similar concept?
Well, I think it's an outgrowth of that concept of buying something as a service, buying something in that utility model, but it's a refinement in the sense that instead of letting the seat manager set up all the subcontracts and set up all the negotiations with all the vendors underneath, the cloud broker is not setting up relationships with the cloud providers. The cloud broker is helping us do the integration of that work, but they're not controlling the pricing of the cloud provider. And that's a real refinement above the current ideas of seat management and other things.
You made a very interesting comment when you talked about the Alliant contract, and five times as much cloud services integration came from Alliant than did through, I imagine you're talking about infrastructure as a service, and I've heard that statistic before, but never as five times. Is the cloud broker concept an outgrowth of what you're seeing on Alliant? And then the follow-up, of course, is why not just add it to Alliant?
Well, actually, it is an outgrowth of what we've learned both from Alliant, what we've learned from the infrastructure as a service contract, and what we've seen from the email as a service contract. So it is an outgrowth of that, and it's many of our customers who participated in that are people who've come to the table and helped us form this cloud broker. There are, I should be careful to say, we have two pilot users, but we have about 20 agencies who are talking to us about the cloud broker idea. As to the follow-up, Alliant is a GWAC, and GWACs cannot offer IDIQ-type task orders. It is an IDIQ. You cannot put another indefinite quantity underneath that. And cloud broker, by its nature, has to have the ability to be elastic in its sizing. So we're not sure that cloud broker would fit the model.
And just to be clear, because the idea is, if your agency X has a relationship with, as a cloud broker, provides integration to these three cloud providers, but then they want to add a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth, that would be potentially be difficult under a GWAC as Alliant.
Right, exactly. You want to add multiple providers. You want to add higher capacity. you want to add more services. So let's say you have the cloud broker begins by doing all your single sign-on integration, not only with the cloud providers, but with your legacy systems, so that you have a true single sign-on for your employees. Later you say, well, you know, it'd be good if they did my service level monitoring. Later you say, well, I'd like for them to monitor for performance real time. So there are many different kinds of services they might perform. And I think as we learn and grow, we're going to find out there are more and more services that can be done this way and reduce complexity.
This actually is a good segue because you also talked about software as a service and as SaaS as being the area where cloud broker really will make the biggest difference, potentially speaking. I mean, it's all hypothetical now, versus infrastructure or platform as a service. Is that the other thing that you're hearing or at least you're seeing either A, that's happening in the private sector, or B, that the agencies are telling you, hey, this is where we see the biggest challenge of that integration piece?
I think most agencies have done the integration with something like infrastructure as a service and even maybe platforms as a service. Those tend to be very large operations with a one-time integration. But when you start talking about software as a service, and you start to think about an agency might want credit risk scoring, and they can buy that as a service from a single provider who's got a best-of-breed version. When you start to think about software as a service in those very small slivers where your high-quality service might be delivered for that very small area, you can see how many different software as a service vendors you might have and the efficiency of having to reintegrate each one of those each time independently becomes very non-economical. And then you start ending up with bundles and you start ending up with pricing with multiple layers. The cloud broker might help us break that model.
And in fact, one of the things you were talking about is the innovation in cloud buying model. And let's talk about that research a little bit. How are you guys doing that research? The utility example, something that I've heard time and again, just plug it in, let it work. Let me back away from it. Talk first about the research you're doing.
Well, what we've done is we've started going across and looking at all the different ways people are buying cloud today. And you'll find fixed price, you'll find fixed price level of effort, you'll find almost a T&M type approach. So there's a lot of different approaches a lot of different agencies are using. I don't believe there's any approach that 80% of the COs in the federal government would agree to today. And our goal is really to figure out what are the particular barriers to getting to that. Here's the correct way to buy cloud that's most economical for the government, provides fair opportunity for the industry, but allows the government to be flexible and agile and actually buy with confidence. And every CEO or the bulk of CEOs in the government would say, I'm comfortable making a purchase in that way.
Obviously, GSA doesn't set policy. That's something that OFPP would do, but would be something that as you're putting together this cloud brokerage process, you'd say, we're only going to allow task orders under this future IDIQ, if there is one, to be cost plus or could only be a fixed firm price. Was that something that GSA would consider, or is that you can't be so prescriptive of the type of contract?
Well, I think that as GSA, we have to serve a lot of customers. So my sense is it's rare that it's good for us to be prescriptive with our customers. They have an enormous challenge managing their acquisition approaches. And I think it's smart for us to allow them to be the manager of their acquisition approaches, unless there's something that's just clearly wrong. And if it's clearly wrong, we would prescribe it. But I think in general, my bias would be our customers need to manage their business acquisition process.
From the outcome or the output from this research, what do you see happening? Is it just maybe a white paper or some kind of guidance isn't the right word, but some kind of best practices? Do you see that as the end result?
We see a potential for an acquisition that would support a service that we would provide to the federal government. We would allow, I think, potentially the cloud broker, if it were a service, could provide a prices paid portal that would allow customers to see what prices are being paid for types of services and gather that data on a strategic sourcing kind of approach, if you will. It potentially end up in some best practices, which we would be happy to publish. But one of the nice things about a proof of concept is we don't really know where it leads. We know that it's smart to test things on a small scale and learn the things that we need to learn before we commit to a large-scale implementation. And that's really the goal here.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. My guest is Mark Day, the General Services Administration's Director of the Office of Strategic Programs and the Office of Integrated Technology Services in the Federal Acquisition Service.
It looks like the forecast is calling for a whole new cloud. Brought to you by CenturyLink. Get a visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions with CenturyLink, all built on a global, secure, carrier-grade network. And their custom solutions and support models are designed to enhance your efficiency every day of the week. Let their cloud infrastructure blanket you with security. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more. The secret to being successful is never slowing down. Your agency's mission doesn't have a pause button, and with CenturyLink as your trusted technology partner, you don't have to slow down. Their visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions are backed by dedicated responsive support. Pause button not included. To learn more about how CenturyLink keeps you up and rolling 24/7, 365, visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. My guest is Mark Day, the General Services Administration's Director of the Office of Strategic Programs and the Office of Integrated Technology Services in the Federal Acquisition Service.
You brought up the data piece, and I want to come back to the data piece. But before I do that, just briefly, timing around these pilots, they're this summer and then into the fall. Where do you see some short-term and long-range and long-term milestones?
Well, we have an acquisition working its way through the process right now to support the pilot, or proof of concept, I think is probably our preferred term. We also see in December probably some of the publication of some of the results, and then depending on the acquisition cycle and other things, exactly when that ends, but probably the winter is when we expect to have some of the major results.
And just to be clear, when you say an acquisition working its way, you're looking at a new acquisition to say we're going to look for a vendor to support these pilots. And then where is the state of that? Because you're going to get a lot of calls just because you mentioned the word acquisition.
What we are doing right now is looking at the platform that we would use to run the service in the proof of concept stage. It is not a large one. It will not be an IDIQ for future use by other agencies, so it will not be a large acquisition. So for those who just thought I said $100 million opportunity, I did not.
All right, well, it's good to clear up because you don't want those calls. And if you do, you can blame me. let me switch over. The other thing you talked about was changing the approach to BPAs to software. As you said, you referenced SmartBuy, the current approach to software licensing and the idea that you come in with one price for one item, and the idea is let's bring volume, let's bring quantity. The question is, I guess, where are you with that? You seem to be starting down a path because you mentioned you had one conversation already with a major vendor.
We are deeply engaged with a couple of opportunities in this area, one very large area of software, and we are hopefully going to announce that procurement in the summer, and that depends on the market research completion, but that's what we expect. We have a number of agencies. There are 7 agencies involved and made commitment to that. We have another 5 agencies who have indicated they would like to join. So that's 12 agencies of volume at the initial onset. That has significant value to the vendors.
How big of a difference is that from what SmartBuy tried to do? Because SmartBuy was, and I know you weren't at GSA during the time, but you were obviously in government and got to at least watch it from one perspective of a CIO. SmartBuy tried to do that. They talked volume before. They tried to bring in people to say, not just the field of dreams concept, if you build it, they will come, but to say, we do have people who are interested. Is the difference is the commitment versus just the interest?
The difference is commitment versus interest. And I think it's a difference in markets. One of the things we're trying to do better is actually analyze the market we're addressing. And in the software market, you typically have a small number of vendors, sometimes even just one vendor, who owns so much of the intellectual property in that area that they effectively have very strong pricing power. It is not in their interest to give us a great price for a volume of one. Their business model is, you name the volume, I'll name a price. On the other hand, if you have a highly competitive market, and let's take some of our service areas where there are 500 vendors who do that service, it is very valuable to them to get a contract that allows agencies to use the contract easily. And so they will do pricing for the purposes of getting onto that contract. And so we have to recognize the different business models we're dealing with. And in the software market, it's a little less competitive in some sense, although I'm sure every software vendor would say that they are very competitive. But in our sense, there are less vendors involved, and the value of being on a contract is less, so they're not going to price unless we bring volume.
One of the things about the schedules that I think people in the community were confused about is when it comes to the smart buy versus the schedules, what's the difference? If the schedules are a floor or a ceiling in terms of price, everything can go down from there. Why not just make bulk buys through the schedule, put out a task order that says, we're going to buy 100,000 widgets, we're going to put it to these 500 vendors, and whoever gives us the best price for 500,000 widgets, that's bulk buying versus new contracts and new processes and the BMP cost that goes into it. Why not just work the schedules differently versus a new contract?
First, I'm not a schedules expert, so I don't want to comment on what they could or couldn't do. But what we are finding is with the BPAs, we're working on total cost of ownership. And so, for example, in one of the deals we're working on, actually price is about 25% of the value of the deal. 75% of the savings will come from just terms and conditions that allow agencies to manage the work easier, allow agency to have a better inventory of their cost, allow agencies to deal with things like security enclaves where one person has five desktops. How do they, in fact, get priced? So there's a lot of things that we can help agencies with that are beyond the price. And so a blanket purchase agreement allows us to put those additional terms and conditions in place.
Are you looking at the smart buy deals and saying, let's move them over to this new way, this new BPA approach, or some of the old ones that are out there already, those may expire, and then as you renegotiate them, that's when you'll kind of bring the volume to them. What's the thought behind merging new with old?
Well, I think we are very committed to the strategic sourcing concepts, and so we are pursuing everything we do in a strategic sourcing model. Whether or not the particular way we're doing this will turn out to be the right way, or whether we'll learn something that tells us there's a third generation yet to be seen. We haven't completed these deals, so we'll have to learn. But I think the old model of just, well, we're just going to give you a volume of one is probably not a model we'll pursue in the future.
DoD just made a recent announcement about signing an enterprise service agreement with Oracle. Are you guys still partnering closely with DoD? Can you comment at least in terms of how you're working with the DoD on this? Because obviously talking about volume, they hold the key in a lot of ways.
The DoD does have some volume. We are close partners with the DoD ESI program. And one of the two initiatives that I mentioned, one is in fact with a DoD component, and the DoD ESI program is deeply involved in that process.
All right, so something to look out for. Finally, the other thing you mentioned about data, which I thought was fascinating, was the idea of making the customer smarter, making GSA provide agencies with more data and publishing a low, medium, and high for every labor category. How does that work? Is that for a specific type of service or product? Or give me some thoughts behind that concept.
There's two examples I can give you. In the software area, we actually collected up all the contracts across the federal government and have the pricing and have shown the agencies how their pricing compares to best pricing in the government for that product. And so that is very powerful in making us a smart consumer. And second, in the labor category area, what we've done is look at standardized labor categories under our GWAC programs that are in my office. Our Alliant program did use standardized labor categories, and so we have the labor categories there, and we just have the high, medium, and low. We don't break it up by vendor. We're not disclosing any vendor information. What we are doing is, over the life of the contracts in total, these are the price that you can expect.
I think that's a great point to say you're not exposing the vendor per se, because that was my question when you talk about software. If you're talking about buying software that does X and all of a sudden you have company Y, then does that change it? So what the person's going to say, and let's pick something easy, antivirus software, they're going to see the levels for all the different potential antivirus softwares, but just not the company name, just the high was $100, a low is $1, and the medium was $50. That's what the agency will see. I mean, is that the basic concept?
Well, let me be precise. In the high, medium, and low approach that we're taking, that is in the labor area, not the product area. The product area we are doing with commodity teams where very dedicated set of people from each agency come together and do that research together.
And will there be eventually be a portal? Because they've talked about, the OFPP has talked about the prices paid portal. Is this connected to that, or is this kind of a cousin?
The labor piece is part of that prices paid portal, and that is being worked specifically as a part of that project. The product area that we're working on is more of the strategic sourcing initiatives under OFPP, where we're working with commodity teams from across the government.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. My guest is Mark Day, the General Services Administration's Director of the Office of Strategic Programs and the Office of Integrated Technology Services in the Federal Acquisition Service.
The secret to being successful is never slowing down. Your agency's mission doesn't have a pause button. And with CenturyLink as your trusted technology partner, you don't have to slow down. Their visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions are backed by dedicated responsive support. Pause button not included. To learn more about how CenturyLink keeps you up and rolling 24/7, 365, visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov. It looks like the forecast is calling for a whole new cloud. Brought to you by CenturyLink. Get a visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions with CenturyLink, all built on a global, secure, carrier-grade network. And their custom solutions and support models are designed to enhance your efficiency every day of the week. Let their cloud infrastructure blanket you with security. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more.
In the third section of Ask the CIO, I get a different perspective from GSA Chief Information Officer Casey Coleman.
You guys seem to be the path you're going down for the reorganization. How far down the path are you? Are you 30%? Are you 80%? Are things, I don't want to say change because it's never done, but is the organization running differently?
Well, I would say that the area of focus is on identifying all of the resources that are coming together in the unified team. So part of that is done. We have created the new GSA IT organization that comprises the former OCIO, CFO IT division, the FAS IT division, and the Public Building Services IT organization. Parts of several other offices that have IT personnel are also being reviewed in order to see where there are IT professionals who also should belong to that team. So that's probably the final 10%. So in terms of bringing the IT professionals together into a unified organization, that's about 90% done. But the other work that is ongoing is inventorying all of the contracts that I mentioned in our previous discussion, and really understanding all of the agreements we have with industry to see how we start to approach that in a portfolio fashion, to look at it holistically and to rationalize and optimize it, and also to look at all the different technologies and all the different systems and see where there are technologies or systems that either don't fit into our architecture or don't, you know, perform the vital functions that maybe they did at one point in the past. And maybe we can look at a strategy to, again, rationalize that portfolio of technologies and applications.
Can you talk a little bit about the tool you're using, the IT spending tracker? Is it something that you guys in-house developed? Did you borrow it from somebody?
No, we didn't borrow it. We did create it. But it's created on a platform, a cloud platform, from Salesforce. The technology that underlies it is their Force.com. You know, it's a little lightweight business application, rapid development capability. And we did this in order, as I said, to really understand all the IT spending, much of which we already knew about, but not at a level of granularity that gave us the ability to really manage it. So we built this application, but really what is making it successful is the policy and the commitment from senior leaders to follow that policy to make sure that everything that's IT spending is logged in that system. And then we meet weekly to review those spending requests and make sure we understand them and then give them the go, no-go, or ask for more information before they can proceed.
How do you know what you don't know? Meaning, if someone goes to spend money on a new license for
right,
software X, but they forget to put it in,
right,
how do you know that? Is there a bill that comes through eventually because that goes through the system, and all of a sudden you say, hey, this bill doesn't match, there's not a match-up, or can you explain kind of how the process works? Do you go in and look at it weekly and then you match it up against something else?
The policy asks that, you know, everyone enter those, but it also asks that the financial analysts who are responsible for entering the financial commitments into the financial system make sure that there is a tracker number that they can validate the approval exists before they enter it to be paid. So there is there's a stop point at which the policy requires that those analysts make sure that that commitment is in there.
And is there a level? Are you saying anything over $10,000, anything over $200,000, or is it everything?
The policy states that any IT spending request must be entered. However, the review process, we can't review every single one of those small dollar items. So the simplified acquisition threshold of $150,000 is where we drew the line at the review threshold. So anything above that point does get scrutinized and reviewed. And that covers over 90% of all spending.
She also was asked how long GSA's new process to oversee IT spending has been in place and if the agency has plans to extend the use of the tool.
Almost a year now. We set it up last August. We want to capture more spending, so we're looking at including professional services in addition to IT spending. And we also want to be much more advanced with our analytics and our ability to massage the data and understand it and glean reports and insights from it.
That's all the time we have for this week. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guests this week were Mark Day, the General Services Administration's Director of the Office of Strategic Programs and the Office of Integrated Technology Services in the Federal Acquisition Service.
Mark, thank you so much for taking your time.
Not at all. Thank you, Jason.
And Casey Coleman, the GSA Chief Information Officer. You can listen to my previous interviews on Ask the CIO anytime on federalnewsradio.com. Keyword search, Ask the CIO. See you next week on Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This show has been sponsored by CenturyLink. If you missed any portion of the show, you can hear it in its entirety on demand at federalnewsradio.com.
It looks like the forecast is calling for a whole new cloud. Brought to you by CenturyLink. Get a visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions with CenturyLink, all built on a global, secure, carrier-grade network. And their custom solutions and support models are designed to enhance your efficiency every day of the week. Let their cloud infrastructure blanket you with security. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more. The secret to being successful is never slowing down. Your agency's mission doesn't have a pause button, and with CenturyLink as your trusted technology partner, you don't have to slow down. Their visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions are backed by dedicated responsive support. Pause button not included. To learn more about how CenturyLink keeps you up and rolling 24/7, 365, visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov.